Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
It is the Friday edition, the live from Steinhoffel's on the Beltline in Madison, their west location edition. It takes a village to get Wilde and Tausch on the air, and we are so lucky to have such great teammates who made that happen edition. And the Tucker Craft, what's that old movie, Network? I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
I don't know. I've never heard of it, so I don't. You know, you're on.
Oh, and I don't know. Oh, imagine that. I don't know.
That's a little different than asking what's going on at practice, but fair enough.
I'm Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course, everything you need. On the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, and all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can find both in the Android and Apple app stores. I'm Jason Wilde, normally in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson was here momentarily. He is headed back, I'm told. But he had some troubleshooting to do, so he is on his way back to Steinhoffel's. And alongside me, which usually means bad news for our program, it is the Packers Hall of Famer. It is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. Great to see you. How are you?
I love that you're hovering over me. That's good.
I don't like to sit. No, my energy's better. And then if I move too much.
Hoping we could put you behind this Steinhoffel's. What is this called?
Kind of credenza?
No, it's like a
bookshelf.
I feel like that's where you
bookcase?
Walk in the house and you can like throw stuff. That's what this looks like. Mm. But it's got a nice arch to it. Yeah, it's always good to see you, Jason. This will probably be our last time we see each other for a while, too.
You sound so disappointed.
No, I don't.
Yeah, well, the Badgers have a bye week. The Packers have a big Sunday night game in Dallas. And Micah Parsons is returning to his old stomping grounds where he is still paying for a suite in the stadium.
Quick question before you get into Micah and Tucker and everything else.
Oh, my.
So our freshman football team stinks. Okay, Max's team, it stinks.
Are you coaching it?
No. Our coaches are doing the best they can. There's different levels of, like, what are they doing, like, on the other team, right? I mean, they're smoking.
Like, schematically?
No. Have you ever heard of a team? I mean, they are cooking us. It was 28-0 at half. It probably could have been more. Have you ever heard of a team taking a team photo on the road in the opposing team's end zone during halftime? Have you ever heard of that?
No, I haven't.
I don't know if there could be anything more disrespectful, like running a play up 60-0, whatever it is.
Sure.
I don't know if I don't think I've ever seen. I had a take. I did like a triple check. Like, just Is there a team photo? Are they doing a team photo in our end zone down there? And sure enough, they were. And like, well, no big deal. Like,
and you're not talking about when like the Packers defense gets a takeaway.
No.
And they go down by the cameras in the end zone, no. And that group poses.
It's not like the defense goes and makes a turnover.
Right.
This literally was the coaches. I think they had their administration. They had the kids. They're all perched and like doing poses in the end zone, taking photos
at halftime.
At halftime.
Were they in a rush to get back to wherever they're located? I don't know who they were facing.
It is, I think, a 20. First off, way too long of a halftime for JV football. Way too long. But that's, I'm not going to get into that. So you have, let's say it's 15 minutes. It should be 6. So our kids run out and go to, like, the lot. It's underneath the great stadium. Way too big of a stadium for high school. That's another conversation. But it's a big stadium. I know Hunter's been out there a bunch. It's, you know, it's a great stadium.
Great facility.
And the other team will just go in there in the other end zone. But they literally, like, they weren't scheming. They didn't need to scheme anything up. I mean, they would have beaten us with whatever scheme they wanted.
Uh-huh.
But then they just sat. They went down there and they brought the photog out. And they took team photos. I was literally thinking, I don't know if there's anything more disrespectful that I could do as a team mm-hmm. than that.
Yeah,
like, is there
tough.
Something that you
no,
could?
No, that's pretty good.
It's on the road, too. If it was at their house, even then, it's still rude. But this was just, this was a level of arrogance that I just was like, wow.
So, and were there any theories as to why, other than rubbing your faces in it, was there any theory as to why they would do this? Like, seriously, did they have, like, you know, homecoming festivities at the school going on that they wanted to get
it was
back
a road
for?
It was or, a no, what do you mean?
Your team was at home or their team
no,
was at
we
home?
No, we were at Sun Prairie Bank of Sun Prairie
right.
Stadium.
So I'm saying, did this team, like, did they have to get on the buses right away and get back? They
had on a Thursday important? Night?
I don't know.
No.
That's what I'm saying. It's just pure.
I literally think they felt like, you know what, we're going to smoke these guys. And by the way, they did.
But what was the final?
I'm not going to get into it.
Did we get on the board?
No, we didn't.
It was a shutout.
It was tough. It was tough. But there would be no reason. Like, there wasn't, like, it makes no sense to me. I'd
right.
love
that's
to get
that's what
an
I'm asking is, was there some, like, why, other than to rub your noses in the
I don't
fact
think
that they're
it was
dominating
even,
you,
I don't
why
think it
would
was
you
even,
take the picture then? Why are you that pressed for time?
I don't know.
After the game is over.
And don't you usually think, like, for the photos, for, like, the program and stuff, don't you do that, like, before the season? Like, I legit
correct.
Don't know.
Yes.
I've never seen it ever.
Were they so dominant that their jerseys were still pristinely clean for the photo?
Their jerseys were fine. That's for sure. I don't know. Listen, man, they kicked our keister. They were a lot better. No, all those things are definitely fair. I just don't understand taking a photo on someone else's field at halftime in the end zone was absurd to me.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to make sure I was on the same
no,
page.
No, you certainly are.
Okay.
I find it interesting, though, that you have not mentioned the school, which I clearly is on purpose. Do you feel like this is not something you'd like to publicize?
Well, no, because there's.
I mean, I could check the scoreboard somewhere.
We have friends in that city. There were some people, and I was mentioning it to everybody that I knew that was coming through. Like, have you ever heard of this? And I'm not going to mention the name of the city.
Okay. Do we know? Because you.
I'll
know-
just say this. It has two. There's two. It is a blank blank. It's not like it's not Middleton.
Oh, it was a blank.
It's not
blank
Verona. It's a
too.
Bum bum.
Okay.
So.
And you said you know folks in this town. Do you have any knowledge of this having happened? Have they done this to other teams?
I haven't done any research, and I don't plan to. I would think not. But maybe this is their shtick. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I hope the photo turned out well for them. Because clearly the game did.
Sure, they probably had the scoreboard in there, I would think. I would have. If you're going to do that, you might as well put
well,
the scoreboard
you,
in
yeah,
it.
Why don't you do it after the game than when it really looks good?
Oh, there's another game after that. You can't. Maybe that's why they did it. Yeah, it was absurd, but I digress.
So how are your freshmen and the other freshmen dealing with the disappointment of the defeat and the what can only be described as taunting?
Oh, I don't even know if they know about the photo. Because our kids were off to the side. They were out, like, warming up by the time the kid – like, they took a 10-minute photo, and then they went and stretched. I mean, that wasn't
– Well, you got to stay limber.
Yes. So I don't know how the kids are
– Well, it'll be a great motivational tool.
Yeah, maybe. Probably not, but maybe. We'll see.
Okay. I am eager for things to turn around for Max and his teammates. Do you have some matchups down the road that maybe will be more evenly matched than this one was?
No, I don't think so. But we'll see. I'm always going to hold out hope that there is. So we'll see.
You're I know next week. Optimist.
I know next week's going to probably be worse.
Oh,
if I'm just being honest.
So the boys have that to look forward to.
Yeah, Wanakee is really good. So we'll probably struggle. Wanakee's youth is, you know, they're pretty stacked. So we'll see. But yeah, I'm not anticipating big things in the Wanakee game either.
Do you anticipate them taking a full? Could this
maybe
be the
maybe this will be the new thing that you play? Yeah, I would bet that they don't take photos.
I would hope not. All right. So how is that? Did that impact your mood at all? Did you think, oh, this is content, or did you think?
Oh, I thought it was content.
Kind of.
And then I started thinking, what could be more disrespectful? And I literally don't know what could be. Like, I mean, there's taunting and everything else, but this is like one of those passive aggressive, like, oh my God, taunts. So that was the only thing. So yeah, it gave me content. Of course, I jotted it down in my notes and knew that I'd bring it up. But outside of that, it is what it is.
Mm. A shutout leaves you very little to cheer for as a parent, offensively and defensively. What's that like in the – like, our girls have been on losing teams and disappointing outcomes. That's got to be rough.
You would think it's not as rough as you'd think. You understand kind of where you're at. You just want to make sure that everybody's playing hard. If everybody's playing hard, I'm fine with it.
Well, at least that we can bring in Tucker Kraft for a pep talk for the boys. Maybe that'll get them going because he certainly had plenty to say yesterday. We will get into that as we roll on. Do you think Jesse will be back at any point?
I don't see a ton of food, so I'm going to guess no.
I would think
if there's not like a grill and brats or if it was like down at with Murph with pancakes getting flipped around, he'd be here. I think the fact that we don't have a ton of food, I would think, is probably saying he's going to stay back.
Well, we will keep an eye out for his triumphant return, but we do have a lot to get to as the Packers get ready for the Micah Parsons-less Dallas Cowboys. Did a conference call yesterday with your guy Kenny Clark. Enjoy hearing from him, and he's looking forward to facing his former team. Smaller story compared to the Micah Parsons story, but we all wrote it yesterday. I will be curious to see what your headline sounds like because maybe we can incorporate some halftime photos into the theme as well. But before we can get to any of that, you need to tell us about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
And when a customer chooses Pella, one of the most important things to them is honoring that trust and commitment. A lot of customers, they might have apprehensions about inviting someone out to their home, but when you see the experience and professionalism, you can trust them with bringing your project to life. Their vision is to be the company that people want to do business with. Order by the end of the month. Get 0% interest for up to 5 years. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more.
We are live from the Steinhoffel store on the West Beltline in Madison. Swing on by. Some great deals, but more importantly, you get to see us, which is always a highlight. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around. I see donuts, so I got to think Jesse's on his way at some point.
Oh yeah.
So we got that going for us, which is nice. Live from Steinhoffel's off the Beltline in Madison, it is Wilde and Tausch. We already got a few fans. Dale in Reedsburg has stopped by. Got a few more that have trickled in, so we always enjoy that. Tausch, are you – I like the fact that Tucker Kraft is using his voice – but is there any peril in that?
What are you – just why don't you tell us what you're thinking? Like, what did he say that bothered you? Because obviously he said something that
– No, he actually said something that I really liked, which was we have
we should
the
go
best –
Is that what he said or not?
We should go on. Exactly. I did have a conversation with Sheed yesterday. His answers were very brief.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
How are you? You feel like you'll be able to go on Sunday? I know you've been dealing with an injury. I'm good. Okay. Good talk. It was about a minute and a half. But Tucker Kraft talked about where the offense is making mistakes. And again, I have learned a lot from you. You always want to probably talk more about what you're doing than what other people are doing.
Correct.
At least publicly.
Yep.
But here is what Tucker – and by the way, I want to get to this too. He had a great line about how – and maybe this is included in there – how we have the best defense in the league.
Defensive-led football team.
Right. And our offense has to do more its part.
I agree.
So people know how great our defense is. So that I liked. I'm curious what you think of this.
You know, we did great week one, week two, coming out, trying to put points on the board. We just got to stick to that. It doesn't matter if we're home or away. We're going to come out on the first drive and try to get points on the board. That is just the demand of our offense. The defense needs us to play like that so we can play complimentary to them. They hold a team, you know, to 13 points in the fourth quarter. Like, it was 10-0 up until the fourth quarter. That's remarkable. Not a lot of defenses are doing that. We have the best defense in the NFL. So we have to help them out. You know, we're beating ourselves up and we're getting behind the sticks with pre-snap penalties. And you know, we're fed up with our own mistakes, and we just gotta be able to limit those in the future and continue to move on.
We're fed up with our own mistakes.
Yeah,
you like that?
I love it. It's accountability, and it's his group. Now, if he's saying our offense is awesome, the defense stinks, and Micah, what the heck? No, I wouldn't like that. But anytime you're holding your own unit, and you know what, he's got a C on his chest. This isn't some slappy that, injured guy coming and saying, oh, you guys really need to pick this up. He's out there. He's fighting through things, and the offense has not been good enough. That's fairly obvious to see. And, again,
did you feel that way after the first two games when they had only 27 points and they could have had more?
The first two games were it's early in the season. Like, this offense isn't humming yet. They're missing guys. It's been a choppy preseason. Like, I am not remotely worried about this offense. I do think you can't just sit there, and this is always the thing about, well, if you win all these games, you have all these great rugs out here at Steinhoffel's. Everything gets swept under them. Like, if you lose.
Ooh, that was good. I like
that. You'll get it swept under. When you lose a game, everybody will be like, 14 blanking penalties? Look at how sloppy our protection, all this. There's an urgency, even though you won a game, or in last week's case, where you lose, everybody is heightened. It's just, I can't really explain it. If you're 3-0 and you go into that Monday meeting, guys will probably be sitting like, oh, you know, if it's, you're 2-1, you just had a bad loss, and that door, and I know the building's different now, but the door swings open, whoop, everybody's sitting up like this. Mm-hmm. There's just that difference of attention to detail, and the great teams figure that out, that it doesn't matter if you win or lose, you do it. You always are on alert like that. Last game, and especially on the offensive side of the ball, the way what Tucker didn't say is those 10 points were gift wrapped by our offense. Mm-hmm. So they need to be better. They know they need to be better, and I love the fact that Tucker's not afraid to say that.
So you've always said that you could coach harder off of wins. In this instance, though, because it's a bad loss and they felt – you know, I was talking to Xavier McKinney yesterday, and I was taken aback by what he said about the idea that, you know, we thought we'd already won the Super Bowl. Like, if that was the vibe he was getting from the locker room, that 2-0 made you feel like you were already – had already arrived, then that is not what you're looking for from a team either. And I was surprised that he saw that, but that's another captain – who is giving his perspective on what the vibe was. But you think this loss, you can coach hard on it because
sure.
You had no business losing the game to begin with.
It's one thing when you feel like the ego or your team might
confidence.
Be a little fragile. Mm-hmm. If that's the case, then you have to kind of tread around. That is not the case from this. And I think Xavier's points, I think, is more about what he's hearing from the head coach and understanding they have these leadership council meetings and everything else. You understand what the messaging needs to be, and when you think that you've arrived and then you get beat, talk about it and say, we haven't arrived.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see if that continues to be an issue or not. I'm curious to see what their mentality is when they face the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas on Sunday Night Football. A lot of the focus has been on Micah Parsons returning to Dallas. Like Jesse,
I'll say this. I'm going to be very concerned. There's Gel. He's back. If we don't score 24-plus, I'll be very concerned about our offense this week.
So the Dallas Cowboys are among the worst teams in the league in scoring defense.
They stink.
They stink. So what constitutes, obviously, winning the game, first of all?
Yep, win it. But you got to score more than 24. This offense needs to start getting into gear, and I understand that there's issues. Oh, Jesse brought me a coffee. Appreciate you, brah. That's nice of you. The offense needs to start showing signs, and there's a bye week coming, and you're sipping my coffee?
It's got a cover on it. You would never drink one out of a cover.
That's where I think this group needs to go, and there's no doubt to me this defense is going to be what it's going to be. It's going to be what this offense.
What
is.
It already you.
No, it's going to be better.
Are legit.
No, it's
going to
be
no
better.
Doubt in your mind about that.
This will be a top five defense, and I believe will be a dominant defense throughout the year. They've played their better offenses. They're going to see for the vast majority of the season already. They're going to start playing some clunkers. What do you think they're going to do to them? What we saw in Cleveland is what we're going to see. Dallas will be a test. Their O line is beat up.
CD Lamb.
This needs to be a resounding win. I know they'll be happy if they get out of there with a win, but I think offensively we need to see some things this weekend.
If it turned into a shootout like they had with the Giants a couple of weeks ago, what is that going to do to your confidence or your belief in this team? Because we're talking about them being a defense-led team.
What constitutes a shootout? Like, if they give up 30-plus?
Yeah, 31-28. What if Packers win 31-28?
I'll be happy they won. I'll be shocked that Dallas scored 28 points. Like, I look at this group. Now, if CeeDee was there and their O-line was intact, I might say, okay, if they scored 20. I don't think, and this is a crazy thing to say. I don't think this team should give up more than 20 points a game to anybody. That's how much respect I have for what this defense should be. And that's going against whomever. Detroit, Washington, Cleveland, doesn't matter. If they give up more than 20 points a game in a single game, I feel like that would be disappointing.
They're averaging 14.7 points per game allowed. They lead the NFL in scoring defense. Through three games. They do have, they've got the Eagles down the road.
Now, let me say this. Now, if it's 31-14 and Dak goes and leads a junk touchdown at the end and it's 31-21, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, the defense stinks.
Right.
Like, I can promise you that. But if it gets to be where I don't see it. I don't know how this, because the attitude and what we've seen so far, it's only going to get better as long as guys stay healthy. And that's where why I'm excited that I think this team has big aspirations this year.
Well, and to your point, and I know Homer has different final scores for the two Packers wins because he subtracted the junk touchdown. So that was a 27-3 game, if we're being honest, like in the Detroit game in the opener. It was 27-10 for all intents and purposes against Washington. 13-10. But it was 10-0, as you heard Tucker Kraft talk about in that clip. Like, they have been what they want to be defensively, and to your point, it's only going to get better as long as they all stay healthy. That gives you a lot of leeway as an offense, but you would love to see them against a defense that has not been very good look like they get right, if you will.
Yeah, they need to be. The offense needs to be a lot better, and I think it will be. I'm not, I don't know what it's going to end up eventually.
What kind of a burger are you expecting?
You'll find out in headlines.
Oh, sounds like a tease.
Well, and I said it on Wisconsin's Morning News this morning, too.
I missed that. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I wasn't tuned in. We appreciate everyone tuned in, though, to Wilde and Tausch live from the Steinhoffel's location in Madison off the Beltline. We've got our green and gold game preview. Jesse has return triumphantly drinking Tausch's coffee. Did you consider bringing Tausch a coffee?
Yeah, that is really rude.
I'm a little surprised by that.
I'm not.
Really?
No, since he's been viral, his head's exploded.
A million views he got, I heard.
Oh, he's over a million.
I got a million views.
He himself, yeah. Without Big Cat, 1.3 million views he's got. So now, why would he go do anything nice for somebody else?
In fact, he expected Barry Alvarez to bring you coffee instead because it's really Jesse who made things go viral. Well, we will have our green and gold game preview, which will be – Jesse, are you going to – since you're so viral, are you going to do that, or are you going to let Riley do it? No, you're going to jump on. Okay, we look forward to Jesse joining us when he's done with your coffee. And to remind you, of course, we got a great partnership with Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. David and his team are the best in the business, and I hope you never have to call them. But if you do, there is no one else to call if you've been injured. 414-276-6666, 414-276-6666. Gruber Law Offices, one call. That's all. Our green and gold game preview is next. Live from Steinhoffel's, it's Wildy and Tausch. Wildy and Tausch. This is why it's just so much better when we're nowhere near each other.
That team really did stink last night, didn't they?
Oh, Jesse. Wildy and Tausch live from Steinhoffel's off the Beltline. Jesse Nelson has arrived. He has coffee for himself and no one else.
Yep.
Time now for the green and gold game preview.
Let's take a closer look at this week's matchup. This is the green and gold game preview.
By the way, when's the last time either of you brought me coffee?
I brought you donuts a ton of times.
That's not coffee.
I didn't even know you like coffee.
Everyone likes coffee.
Jesse, don't poke the bear, man.
My specialty is poking the bear.
Is it?
Nope. Our green and gold game preview.
What would you say your specialty is?
Voices.
Yep. Going viral on YouTube.
Yeah, voices
and Barry Alvarez.
Asking Barry Alvarez good questions.
The Jesse Nelson Show.
Our green and gold game preview for the Green Bay Packers and the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday Night Football here in week 4 of the NFL season. Usually the first question I ask you guys in the green and gold game preview is what's the big storyline heading into this week's game? I think we might know
it's
what
Micah,
that answer
Micah
is.
Micah Parsons.
Yes, thank you, Tausch. So instead, I ask you, who will be talked about more during the NBC broadcast of Sunday night's game, Micah Parsons or Jerry Jones?
Jerry Jones. I think Jerry Jones will be. Micah Parsons will make plays, but the camera and everything, the fact that you typically, Micah Parsons gets a lot of attention on every broadcast, right? Because he's making plays and people are circling him to see how they're blocking him. Mm-hmm. That's normal. Jerry is on screen a lot, but I think it will be a lot times three on Sunday. And that's why I'm going to say Jerry.
So I think they're going to spend some time talking about Jerry and his decisions, and that'll certainly be part of the broadcast. But I think given the state of affairs for the Dallas Cowboys and their offensive line, I think Micah Parsons is going to be celebrating a very productive return. And they will be talking a lot about how dominating he has been in the game.
Okay.
So I think he's going to get the nod. Disagree. Circle gets the square.
I hope you're right. Question number two in our green and gold game preview. Which player besides Jordan Love or Micah Parsons will most impact the success the Green Bay Packers have on Sunday night?
Josh Jacobs. He has not really gotten going yet. The offensive line has been a big part of that. It has not blocked up to its standard. But Dallas, their defense is bad. And I think teams can and I believe will run on them. I don't know Kenny Clark's, I'm guessing he's going to play.
He made it very clear yesterday. He is playing.
Okay. Very good. I'm glad he is. It would have been a bummer if he couldn't have. I think Josh Jacobs needs to really get going. And then you're going to see the play-action pass and the big-time stuff down the field that you've seen Dallas give up a ton of. My guess is they have to be looking at this and saying, they haven't run the ball that great. Let's see if that's going to be the formula for us stopping them, and we'll see if that is what it is.
So given if we could go a little off script for a moment.
Please do.
Back when you and Amon Green and your offensive line were really humming and running the ball at will, and he put up a franchise record 1,883 yards during the 03 season, obviously you faced teams that were bringing multiple extra guys down into the box. How does an offensive line, when they are outpopulated, how do they still effectively make the running game go? Because if you ask Steno yesterday, the response has been essentially that, hey, they're loading the box, so we have to make plays in the passing game. Well, you still have to be able to run the ball, and you have to run it better than you have.
Well,
and the numbers for Josh Jacobs are crazy, how much of his contact, his yardage after contact, it's even higher than it was percentage-wise than last year.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's you need to throw the ball sometimes to loosen things up, and there's easy throws. If you're going to bring a safety down and you're going to have eight guys in the box, that means there's going to be some one-on-one and some opportunities. We had Jay Walk. We just, on the backside of things, we'd run slants. If you're going to bring this guy down here, it's basically Brett would have open form, just like, yep, all right, the slant's there. Up, this is here, boom, boom, boom. And you do different schemes. We obviously ran a ton of power, but we also had tosses out to the outside. We had weak side runs. You are going to be – what you're good at, you're going to stick with, and you're going to do some things to help alleviate a little bit of the press that a defense can give you. But
if your line is good, you can still find a way to block it up even without the numbers?
You want to have numbers. You want to have numbers. Yeah. It makes things a lot easier. But you have a special back like we had with Amon. There are plenty of times that, you know, there's an unblocked guy and he makes him miss or he barreled him over.
I'm going to go on the defensive side of the ball for the Packers. We spent some time yesterday talking about this guy with Jeff Hafley. I have been a critic of him at times, to be sure, but the guy leads the NFL in sacks right now, and that's Rashawn Gary. And the fact that he has been able to be unlocked with the attention that Micah Parsons has gotten. And by the way, Micah Parsons has drawn some pretty significant double teams and yet has still defeated them, which is even more impressive. So, but I'm going to go with another big game for Rashawn Gary.
Last up in our Green and Gold game preview, live from Steinhoffel's on the west side. The Green Bay Packers have never lost at AT&T Stadium in Arlington. And that will remain the case on Sunday night if...
Never. Never.
Never, ever. Last loss Tausch was playing in 2007.
That was not at that stadium either.
Yeah, that was at the old stadium.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you just said at this stadium.
Yeah. Last loss in Dallas was when you were playing at the old stadium.
Yeah, but that's not what you said. You said undefeated at AT&T, and then you just said
yes.
The last time it happened.
We are in agreement.
You should have brought him coffee.
I should have. I can still go.
I'm not being ornery.
The show survived the first two seconds without me. I could go again.
I'm just saying that he
do we agree he misspoke?
No, yes. I didn't misspeak.
No, yeah, you did.
The Green Bay Packers have never lost at AT&T Stadium. Semicolon. Their last loss in Dallas was in 2007 at the old stadium.
All right. I'm not going to get into semantics with you. I just
sounds like we're getting into punctuation.
No, he's trying to drop semi. You were just. Can you just admit you were wrong?
No. The Green Bay Packers win on.
You're wrong.
The Green Bay Packers win on Sunday night if blank.
If they score more points.
Thank you, Jason.
And the Dallas Cowboys win if they move the game to the old stadium.
That's what it sounds like.
Oh, it's great to be with you guys.
I don't understand how he can't just admit that he's wrong.
I didn't misspeak. They were independent thoughts.
Yes, but they
all
were
summarized in the
together.
Same sentence.
Yes,
semicolon. Who uses the semicolon?
That's the old, except for that one time. That's what you did.
Grammatically, it may have been a run-on sentence, but factually, it made sense.
All right, we will diagram that sentence coming up. I need to answer the question, though. Could you pose that question again since you did it so eloquently?
Please let me rephrase. The Packers win on Sunday night over the Cowboys if blank.
If the game stays at AT&T Stadium. Yes, look, the defense, I'm with Tausch. I am a unabashed believer in the defense.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as they don't suffer the same fate as another really good defense last year, which was Detroit. Detroit started the season. They were one of the best defenses that we'd seen, and then they just got decimated with injuries. So knock on wood for those guys. They stay healthy. I think that to Tausch's point about as long as if we're not counting garbage time, whale ahead touchdowns that get scored late that make the – like kind of like the score in the playoff game. Like I didn't know until I looked it up that it was 48-32 was the final. And it was never that. I mean,
not even close.
It was not that close. It was so misleading. So as the Packers continue to play the defense that they have been playing, I have a hard time seeing them. They can win this game 21-3, and we will still be nitpicking about how could this offense not get going more given
because
the circumstances.
Thinks,
right. But I just – the way their defense is playing, that is the one aspect – and again, it's crazy to talk about the Packers in those terms because it's been so rare that we've done it throughout your playing career and your post-career of analyzing them.
Yes.
So that, to me, as long as they keep Dak Prescott from putting on the game of his life with George Pickens, who I am a doubter, and Barry Alvarez's grandson, who's a very good player.
He'll have a decent
day.
Like if he prize picks him, I probably will go more.
So I think that's all it's going to take.
Oh, no, I'm telling you one thing. It's going to be another Charlie check down. It's going to be Chucky check. I mean, that's good. We need to, whenever we end up monikering this defense, which if they are as good as I think they are, we will have to, something with check down needs to be in play.
Speaking of that, if we can, I know you're very eager to give more run-on sentences that confuse
actually
people.
Thinking I might just go home for the rest of the show.
No, we're happy to have you. But... I mentioned I was talking with Xavier McKinney yesterday.
Yeah.
When you look at how well this defense is playing and how little of a factor he is, right? Like it's not like he's out there making a bunch of plays. He's basically just preventing everything from going down the field and checkdowns, like you mentioned. What does that say to you about this defense that the best, arguably the best safety in the game, is largely uninvolved? His one interception was one that, if we're being honest, he should have batted down because they would have gotten the ball in even better field position late in the first half.
It tells you that they're getting exactly what they want, and your defense is designed to take away their first, second, third read and then get them to the point where they're checking down and then you swarm into the ball. That's what you're trying to do when a team is passing the football. Outside of killing the quarterback, that's what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, to me, that is exactly, you're getting the results that Jeff Hafley is wanting when he calls that defense.
Pipe Jim on
period.
The
period. Thin.
Semicolon.
No semicolons.
Pipe Jim on the private talk and text line, which, by the way, he and Pat McCurdy had a gig in Door County a couple weeks ago. And during the break, someone comes up to him and says, "Are you the guy that texts into Wilby and Tausch all the time?" We are everywhere. Pipe Jim, send Jesse back to the studio where
he belongs. Oh, come on, Pipe Jim.
I was going to say send him to a local coffee shop to bring some coffee for other people that might enjoy it.
No, this is actually better. You got three sugars in there? And it's French vanilla and three creams? Why don't you just get a cup of sugar?
It's my order. It's delicious.
Three cups of three?
I will admit I did not know those were the metrics on it. I just say French vanilla, cream, and sugar.
You know what you'd say there is you want some coffee with that sugar.
Oh. You come up with that.
You want a little Tito's with that? Well, maybe we throw a little Tito's in there to get rid of some of that sugar. You know what?
It's gluten-free.
There you go. Tito's Handmade Vodka is my go-to all the time. It was first made in Austin, Texas. Distilled 6 times for a clean, smooth finish. And you know what? It'd be a good day out here at Steinhoff's to have a Bloody Mary. It would be Tito's. And after dealing with Jesse and Jason this morning.
Hey!
All right, just
got here.
Let me, Jesse, and everybody else. We would mix it with a lemonade or a cranberry, but make sure Tito's is in our glass. And Tito's gives back
in a big way, partnering with nonprofits and doing real good in the community across this country, especially for our four-legged friends. So the next time you're raising a glass, make sure it's with Tito's handmade vodka crafted to be savored responsibly.
It is the punctuation edition of Wilde and Tausch.
The disrespect for the semicolon must be.
The fact that you couldn't just own up is troubling to me. It really is.
That was an ellipsis there, right? It was the fact that you couldn't own up is troubling to me.
I never fully understood the brackets from a punctuation standpoint. Like, why you put brackets on stuff?
I put those in quotes when there are words that need to be added to make the quote make sense. That's how I use them.
And I think the brackets are for the, like, oh, yeah, that's the brackets, not the... Not the circle.
If you're
going to
be
parentheses?
The foremost
parentheses, yeah,
authority.
The circle dudes. We're going to semicolon the circle dudes.
We need to play trivia.
Oh, God, do we ever.
Jesse, why don't you go run and get coffee while we do trivia?
You know it's a tough day when trivia is the bounce back segment.
Jesse, what is today's category, and what caller would you like Riley to take?
I wanted to stay for this one because I was excited for this trivia category today.
You don't need to. Where are you going?
To get you coffee.
I don't need coffee.
It sounds like you do.
No, I'm fine.
The crew.
You just admit your mistakes.
You just quit while you're behind. Put down the shovel, man.
The crew in review is today's
trivia.
A lot of attention for the Green Bay Packers and Dallas Cowboys this weekend. However, the Milwaukee Brewers still have a chance to clinch home field advantage through the postseason for their final series of the season. So looking back on the 2025 regular season, the crew in review, today's trivia category.
And how many wins do they currently have?
96.
96. Caller
96.
15. 9 plus 6 is 15.
Good one.
Caller 15. You're welcome, Riley. 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. You know, Dick Bennett talks about servant leadership. You know, it's
I've
one of my
that.
Favorite things that he's talked about.
I've heard that.
Our guy Ben, who is our general manager, is walking in with coffee for
him.
While Jesse just stands here and debates the choices of punctuation, here's Ben bringing coffee. That's servant leadership.
Hey, I wish I had a trip to Italy.
Well, maybe
they'd like to send you now.
Maybe next time you sign up for those trips for $150, they'll send you to Italy.
Caller number 15 right now, 844-770-3776, plays trivia. It's Wilde and Tausch. Live from the Steinhoffels off the Beltline in Madison, Jesse is here sharing his wisdom with everyone about punctuation. How is the talk and text line receiving your argument slash position slash whatever you want to call
it? You know, the great thing about what we do is, you know, what we are considered is artists, and art is interpretable.
Artists?
Yeah, we're artists. We're
the artist formerly known as Jesse Nelson.
Vocal artist? Yeah, like, I don't see you painting tapestry.
Back in the day, there was Van Gogh. Today, there's Wilde and Tausch. Ron in Rome. Jesse, I understood exactly what you were saying. Lando and Tosa. Jesse with an I misspoke.
Oh.
So,
interpretable. That is the beauty. Like, a good piece of art can be interpreted many
different ways.
That's
true. Yes, and so can our show. Time now, though, for trivia presented by Cousin Subs.
Wilde and Tausch Trivia is presented by Cousin Subs. Crispy chicken tenders are now available at Cousin Subs. Order today in-store at CousinSubs.com or with the Cousins app. Cousin Subs, we believe in better.
It is time for trivia, and we could not ask for a more timely trivia contestant because he is a highly successful coach. And I very much want to know if he ever took a team photo at halftime in the end zone of the game he was coaching.
I will bet he has not.
He's a man of high integrity. It is our buddy Coach Aaron Mack on Wilde and Tausch. Coach, good morning. How are you?
How are we doing? No, that's Bush League. Yeah,
it's not good.
Aaron, it was like I legit did like a triple take. Like at first I thought they were just like that was their huddle that they were doing. And then when I saw the photographer with the big lens and the big flash, I'm looking at it like, this can't be right. Now, granted, they kicked our tuchus. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. But they took a photo at halftime in the opposing end zone.
Is there anything?
What's that?
We're probably fighting at half then.
Unfortunately, I think if we're fighting, we probably get our butts kicked too.
Send a message.
But yeah, no, it was crazy town. I had never seen it, so I'm glad we're on the same page.
Two-word school. They have a grayish color in their mascot, and the thing flies.
Yeah, you're right.
Hmm.
Ooh, that's a pretty good little determination. Yep.
Coach, given all your success before we play trivia, which hopefully will also be successful for you, what's the worst loss you ever endured as a coach?
Ooh.
Just wait. Now, this is two different things, though, Aaron. It's like the most heartbreaking or just the one
just
where you just got trounced.
Right.
Yeah.
Pounded.
Yeah. Well, we'll take both. Okay. There can't be many to choose from, given your career.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's plenty. probably the time we're getting beat 69-0 at a school up north, and with 30 seconds to go, they faked the two-point conversion to go to 71.
What are we doing?
That's Bielema-esque. That's what the card said.
And that was the line.
Oh, my
God. That was probably the biggest slap in the face that you have to eat.
What do you do when you go shake hands after the game?
They were favored by 70.5.
They had a cover. What do you do afterwards then? Do you shake hands? You say something?
House, I probably got to tell you off the air.
All right. That seems reasonable.
They won a sportsmanship award that year, I think. Yeah.
All right, well, let's play some trivia.
Yep,
sportsmanship
All right.
award.
I'm not sure how this will go, but we could probably talk ball more and forego trivia today, but we'll give her a shot on the Brewers.
We could. You could forfeit your entries and just give us
What was the name of the team that took a two-point conversion against Defoe back in the late – or the early – Yeah, we'll skip that one.
All right, Coach, question one is this. Who was the Brewers' opening day starting pitcher back on March 27th against the New York Yankees? Was it Freddy Peralta, Nestor Cortez, or Chicago Cubs legend Aaron Civale?
I've heard it both ways. Semicolon to that.
Let's go with fastball, Freddy.
Let's go, Freddy.
One for one.
All right, Aaron. Which of these players was on the 2025 Milwaukee Brewers opening day roster? Is it Caleb Durbin, Chad Patrick, or Quinn Priester?
Can you give them to me again?
I sure can. Caleb Durbin, Chad Patrick, or Quinn Priester?
Which one was?
Was, yeah, big, high, big.
All caps.
All capped
was.
Up, yeah. Was, yeah.
Priester.
Chad Patrick, the correct answer.
Chad Patrick.
Never trust the guy with two
Aaron, how do I say Aaron Civale?
Civale.
Yeah. So is he the one that they traded to the White Sox to acquire Vaughn?
Yes.
And he forced his way out.
Okay.
Which I always get a kick out of, like a sixth or seventh starter. Going to force his way out.
And then Civale went to the White Sox. Now he's on the Cubs, and he was the winning pitcher the day the Cubs clinched their playoff spot.
Is there a chance he pitches in the postseason game against the Brew Crew?
I don't know if he will be on their postseason roster, but I suppose there's a chance.
Well, he forced his way out if he's not.
He's on the roster now.
I want to be traded, yes.
I'm sure he would like to pitch against the Brewers in the playoffs.
Maybe he wants to come back.
Might want to reconsider.
Yeah,
indeed. Probably not be a bad idea.
All right, Coach, question three. Let's bounce back here.
Yeah, we could use something.
Oh.
That's
the irony of that.
Yes. Before the Brewers earned free George Webb's burgers for fans with a franchise record 14-game winning streak, their first attempt at winning 12 in a row came up one game short after which contending team ended the Brewers' 11-game winning streak in July?
Good question. Tough.
Was it the New York Mets, the Seattle Mariners, or the San Diego Padres?
Let's go with the hot team, Seattle Mariners.
Big dumper.
Big dumper.
1-0, the dumper beat us.
He hit a home run?
Yeah, that was
dumper.
It.
Dumper. One of 60 that yeah. he's hit this season. All right, Coach, we look forward to our off-air conversations about sportsmanship in sports and what was said at that handshake after that 71-0 defeat.
Sounds like a Prep Mania Digi-only type deal there.
Yes.
You do have three of the possible four entries. All right. Thanks, Coach. We appreciate you. That is Will Diatoush Trivia. We will kick off.
I love you guys.
We love you, too.
Love you
I love Coach Mac.
And we don't love whoever was taking a picture in the end zone, though. Well, them we don't love as much.
A little disrespectful.
We will kick off the 10 o'clock hour with our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week. We'll kick off that 10 o'clock hour in 2 minutes live from Steinhoffel's off the Beltline in Madison. It's Will Diatoush.